Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is indeed nobody who knows our hearts the way you know our hearts. Lord, as you look upon us and you look in our hearts, and you reveal things to us that maybe keep us from laying it all down, surrendering our lives completely to you. As we hear your word this morning, help us not to walk away sad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let it go. Sometimes the conversations, when 40 men are together, the conversation isn't what you might think. That's what happened yesterday morning. Is after our morning Fit Shepherd's workout, we came into the church and to pray with scripture. And the next thing I know it, we're talking about Princess Elsa's iconic song, Let It Go, in the Disney movie. Even though we talked about Princess Elsa's song, Let It Go, like, we had a nice manly workout, okay? Let's make that clear, okay? But this letting it go is what I feel the Lord wanting me to draw our attention to this morning. The young man who runs up to Jesus kneels before him, right, and asks him, what must I do to enter eternal life? And he goes through, and Jesus goes through the commandments and tells him to keep the commandments. And the young man says, I've kept the commandments since my youth. As a good Jewish boy, I've kept them. There's got to be something else. What else? And what happens next, I think, is the key to the story. In verse 10, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Other translations say, beholding him, or gazing at him. The gaze of Jesus, of the young man kneeling before him, was able to penetrate his heart and identify the very thing that had a stronghold on his life. That's what Jesus's look does. Like, that's what his gaze accomplishes every time. It's what his gaze accomplished with the young man kneeling before him, and it's what his gaze does to you and me this morning. Like, if we turn back and look at our second reading today, St. Paul to the letter of the Hebrews, he says the word of God is effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word, his gaze, it penetrates. It says it's able to discern the reflections and thoughts of the heart. It goes on to say, no creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of to him whom we must render an account. Everything is naked before the eyes of Jesus. The rich young man, as he's kneeling before him, is utterly naked. You and I are naked before the gaze of Jesus. There's no hiding or there's no concealing, right? What's in our hearts. And so Jesus sees and identifies in the young man's heart that it's his wealth that is the thing that's suffocating him, right? That's got a stranglehold on his life that's prohibiting him to follow Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that as Jesus gazes upon the young man who's kneeling before him and he sees his faults, his look and his gaze penetrates to the depths of his heart and sees it all, sees that his heart is defiant, sees that his heart, that he keeps things above God. In his case, it's his wealth. And the scripture says what? As he gazed upon him, he loved him. That's really good news for people like you and me who are in this church this morning, people who have stuff that has a stronghold on our lives, things that are in our lives that cripple us, that maybe things that have as maybe clutter in our lives, and it keeps us from surrendering and following Jesus or keeping him number one. So the let it go for the rich man was his wealth. And the dangers, right, in Jesus up and down in the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, makes it very clear and draws on the dangers of wealth in the spiritual life. Not that wealth is bad, but Jesus very strongly says it's dangerous. Just because wealth has a tendency to be sticky, we have a tendency to put our trust in it. We have a tendency to want more and more of it. I have a tendency, even though I'm comfortable in the house that I'm living at, that I want a bigger one, kind of like they have, or I want a better car. And so the let it go, the it part for the young man was his wealth. But for you and I, it might be something different this morning. The key is that Jesus' gaze is the thing that brings it about. So as he gazes in your heart, in my heart this morning, what does Jesus see? Like, what hinders me this morning? What is the thing in my life that maybe preoccupies me and prohibits me from following Jesus to the extent that he wants me to follow him? And that is nothing short of laying it all on the line, laying it all down. Because it's easy for us to say, well, I come to Mass. Like, I'm good. And you see, that's the same trap in the sense that the rich young man had. It's precisely the love that Jesus has for him, the rich young man. It's precisely that love where he points out the thing that keeps him from surrendering. And where Jesus says, I see the thing in your life that is a stronghold. I see the thing in your life that cripples you. Now lay it aside, let it go, so that you can follow me without reserve. And at that, what happened? The rich young man went away sad. At that decisive moment, he couldn't let it go. He couldn't let go of the thing that had a strong hold on him. And I look at that and I'm like, why? And as I'm thinking about it, the only way that he wouldn't put it aside and follow him is because he missed the gaze. Like, he didn't see it. Because it's precisely the gaze of the divine that would have captivated this young man. If he just would have saw the gaze that Jesus had towards him to see him. And if he would have noticed the gaze, it's that thing that would have captivated him and moved his heart to let it go. But he didn't see the gaze, and therefore, sadly, preoccupied by the thing that had a stronghold on his life, he went away sad. So for us this week, let us not miss the gaze. Not just throughout this week. Maybe be especially attentive throughout this week of his gaze upon us. But at this liturgy, this Mass, as we take a minute or two for silence after this homily, Jesus' gaze is real. His penetration that he wants to go through our hearts is real. And he wants to do it for us this morning. Maybe especially after this homily, especially at a time after we receive him in the Eucharist and we go back to our pews. Allow the gaze to take place. Don't miss it. Because Jesus makes the same invitation to all of us this morning as he did to the young man. And that is, come follow me. Will we let it go and follow him? Or will we go away sad?